بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we continue with our studying of the book Asl al-Sunnah wa I'tiqad al-Din, or as it is known, Aqidatul Raziyaini, which is a compilation of the Aqidah of the Imams of the Salaf, as was agreed upon by Imam Abu Hatim al-Razi and Abdurrahman ibn Abu Hatim al-Razi and Abu Zur'a al-Razi, who were from the second generation of the Muslims. And in the last week's lesson, we went through the belief of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah with regards to the rulers. And the author, he said, Rahimullah, he said, وَنُقِيمُ فَرْضَ الْجِهَادِ وَالْحَجِّ مَعَ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي كُلِّ دَهْرٍ وَزَمَانٍ, that we uphold the obligation of jihad and hajj with the leaders of the Muslims in every time and every age. وَلَا نَرَى الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى الْأَئِمَّةِ, and we do not hold khuruj, i.e. rebelling and revolting against the rulers, to be correct. وَلَا الْقِتَالَ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ, and neither fighting in times of fitna. And in this lesson, we continue with the belief of Ahlul Sunnah with regards to the rulers. He said, وَنَسْمَعُ وَنُطِيعُ لِمَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَنَا, we listen to and obey whoever Allah appoints as our leader of our affairs. وَلَا نَنْزِعُ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَةٍ, and we do not remove our hand from obedience. وَنَتَّبِعُ السُّنَّةَ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, and we follow the sunnah and we remain with the jama'ah. وَنَجْتَنِبُ الشُّذُوذَ وَالْخِلَافَ وَالْفُرْقَةِ, and we stay away from deviation and differing and splitting. وَأَنَّ الْجِهَادَ مَاضٍ مُنْذُ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ, and jihad continues to take place from the time Allah sent His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the hour. مَعَ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, with the leaders of the Muslims. لَا يُبْطِلُهُ شَيْءٍ, and nothing abolishes it. وَالْحَجُّ كَذَلِكَ, and hajj as well. وَالدَّفْعُ الصَّدَقَاتِ مِنَ السَّوَائِمِ إِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and the payment of sadaqat from livestock, i.e. from cattle, to the leaders of the Muslims. So all of this is regarding the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah with regards to the rulers of the Muslims. The Muslim ruler, if he is just, or if he is a zalim, or if he is corrupt, as long as he remains a Muslim, what does the Muslim do with regards to them? And he began by saying, وَنَسْمَعُ وَنُطِيعُ لِمَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَنَا وَلَا نَنْزِعُ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَةٍ. He said, نَسْمَعُ وَنُطِيعُ, we hear and we obey every ruler who Allah has given authority over our affair. وَلَا نَنْزِعُ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَةٍ, and we do not remove our hand from his obligation. Meaning the rulers of the Muslims, as long as they remain Muslims, even if they have with them oppression or corruption, then the obligation upon the Muslims is to listen to them and to obey them and accept their authority. And we have to do as they tell us to do. If they tell us to obey Allah, then we have to do it. If they order us to do something which is mubah, or something which is permitted, not halal and neither haram, just something which is permitted, then we have to also listen to them. So for example, the laws of the country, the organization of the country, the like the traffic laws and things like this, we have to obey it. And then the third thing is if they order us to do something which is disobedience to Allah, this we are not allowed to obey anybody, whether it's the ruler of a country or the khalifa of the whole ummah or the father of a household, the imam of a masjid, in this case we do not obey them. So there are three commands. Either the ruler of the Muslim country orders you to do something which is obedience to Allah, you have to do it. Or he orders you to do something which is permitted, mubah. Not wajib, not haram, but something which is mubah. You have to do it. Or he orders you to do something which is disobedience to Allah, then you're not allowed to do it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La ta'ata fi ma'siyatillah. That you cannot show obedience in disobedience to Allah. Innama ta'atu fil ma'ruf. Obedience is only in that thing which is good. So anybody who orders a person to do an act of disobedience, then it is not allowed for us to obey that person. And there's a general principle. We say, La ta'at lil makhluq fi ma'siyat al khaliq. You cannot show obedience to creation if it involves disobedience to the Creator. You cannot show obedience to creation if it includes disobedience to the Creator. And as I mentioned, this applies to the Khalifa of the Muslims, the Muslim ruler of any country, the husband to the wife, the father to the son, the imam of the masjid to the congregation. If they order with something which is disobedience to Allah, then we are not allowed to obey them. So as an example, the father tells his children to go buy, for example, a packet of cigarettes. Or the ruler of a country forces somebody to work in a bank which has riba. Then you're not allowed to obey them in that thing. But not obeying the ruler doesn't mean revolting against the ruler. So there's a difference between al-khuruj, and al-khuruj means rebellion and revolting and removing yourself from his obedience in totality, and adam al-ta'ah, which means that you don't obey him in that thing, even with regards to the parents. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he admonished the believers with regards to their parents. Allah said, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. That we have admonished a man with regards to his parents to show obedience to them. So the asl is that a person has to show obedience to his parents, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. And then Allah said, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ لِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. But if your parent forces you to commit an act of shirk, your parent forces you to commit an act of shirk, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, then do not show them obedience. The ulama, they mention a beautiful point from this ayah. They say, notice, in this ayah, Allah uses the wording فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, meaning do not obey them. He didn't use the wording فَعُقْهُمَا, that disobey them. He didn't say disobey your parents. He just said do not obey them. And the difference is that it's as if Allah is saying, keep showing obedience to them in that thing which they order you to commit shirk. For example, they order you to make sujood in front of an idol. Do not obey them in that thing, but carry on obeying them. And for this reason, in the very next ayah, Allah said, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, and live with them in this dunya in a good way. And this is regarding a parent who is forcing you to do an act of shirk. Show them goodness. When they order you to do shirk, do not obey them, and continue living with them in a good way. So the point is, there is a difference between not obeying the Khalifa or the Waliul Amr or the father or the husband in an act of disobedience, and then there is a difference between totally removing yourself from their obedience and rebelling against them and insulting them and uprising against them. There is a difference in this. And there are many evidences for this. Like I said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, innama ta'atu fil ma'ruf, that obedience is only in acts of goodness. So any act of disobedience, there is no obedience to them. Also, there is a story of some of the companions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent them on a journey, and he appointed an amir over them. And this amir, he wanted to test them. So he said to them, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ أَن تُطِيعُونِي
has the Prophet not ordered you to obey me because I am the mirror of this journey? And they said, Bala, they said, of course. So then he gathered some wood and he lit a fire and then he ordered them to jump into that fire. So the companions, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the companions, they started looking at each other. Now what do we now do now? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us to show absolute obedience to the ruler or the amir of the journey. So then one of them said to the other, Inna taba'na an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam firaran min an-nari afanadkhuluha, that we only followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to run away from the fire. Should we now enter into the fire because this man is telling us to do so? Anyway, then they went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet said, لَوْ دَخَلُوهَا مَا خَرَجُوا مِنْهَا أَبَدًا, that had they entered into the fire, then they would not come out from it, meaning that they would be punished by Allah in the fire forever. He said, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ, you only obey in acts of obedience. So we have with us three affairs. Either the ruler of a country orders the citizens to do an act of obedience, like for example, the Eid, Salah, Jum'ah, Jama'ah, Jihad, Hajj, so on and so forth, you have to do it. Or he legislates rulings which are permitted, not wajib, not haram, like rulings of governance that don't oppose the Sharia, you have to obey him. Or he orders you with disobedience to Allah, you do not obey him in that affair, but you carry on showing obedience to him in everything else. So there's a difference between khuruj, rebellion and revolting against the ruler, and between not obeying him in that thing. The reason why khuruj is not allowed after the many ahadith which we mentioned last week is because of the evil and the harm which results if people revolt and rebel against the Muslim rulers. And some of these evils are that blood is lost, meaning the blood of the Muslims. Muslims' lives, people are killed. Property is taken. Honor is violated. Children are lost. Chaos becomes prevalent in the society. Also, militias and gangs then take over. And then haram starts to spread. And evil starts to spread. And often this will last 50, 60, 70 years, the result of economic failure and the killing of people and children out of zina and children without fathers and orphans and wealth being destroyed. For generations and generations, this continues like this. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they forbade revolting against a ruler as long as he remains a Muslim. And all of this we covered last week. And then the author said that from our aqeedah is وَنَتَّبِعُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, that we have to follow the sunnah and we have to follow al-jama'ah. What is the meaning of sunnah and what is the meaning of al-jama'ah? Because we always say أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, the people of the sunnah and the people of the jama'ah. The meaning of sunnah here is طَرِيقَةُ النَّبِي, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa manhajuhu, and the methodology which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid down for us in everything, in our aqeedah, the way of the Prophet, in our ibadat, the way of the Prophet, in our akhlaq and muamalat, the way of the Prophet, in our muamalat, our transactions, the way of the Prophet, in our jihad, in our da'wah, in every single aspect, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us, like the Prophet said, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَى لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ, I've left you upon a clear white path. The night is clear as its day. Nobody deviates from it except that he is destroyed. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, the night is as clear as the day. Meaning, when a person travels on a journey, in the day, when there's light and sunlight, it's easy for a person to know the way. He sees every obstacle, every person, every barrier, every sign. But when the night comes, and now there's no more light, then it becomes difficult. So a person may not see an obstruction or a barrier, miss a sign. Why? Because there's no light. There's no clarity. But the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not like this. He said, Layluha kana hariha. The night is just as clear as its day. There's no confusion, there's no darkness, there is always clarity. So this is the meaning of a sunnah, meaning tariqatun nabi, the way of the Prophet. What does al-jama'a mean? Al-jama'a, it has two meanings, two understandings. If it refers to the Muslims as an ummah, as a country, then al-jama'a means jama'atul muslimina wa imamuhum, that the main body of the Muslims and their imam. This is the meaning of al-jama'a. So in the Muslim countries, for example, there is the leader of that country, and then there is the society who show obedience to him. This is called al-jama'a. And whoever leaves this jama'a, then the Prophet said, "Mata maytat al-jahiliyyah." Then he dies the death of al-jahiliyyah. So here al-jama'a means showing obedience to the ruler and the rules of society. And then there is another meaning of al-jama'a, and it is as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Man kana ala al-haq walau kana wahidan." It is whoever is upon the truth, even if it is a single person. And also from the meanings of al-jama'a is those people who are united. Al-jama'a from al-ijtima', that they are united upon the sunnah. The opposite of ahlu sunnati wal jama'a is ahlul bid'ati wal furqa. So we have ahlu sunnati wal jama'a, the people of the sunnah and the people of the jama'a. And then we have ahlul bid'ati wal furqa, the people of innovations, because al-bid'ah is opposite to sunnah, and furqa means divisions and splitting and disunity, is opposite to unity and jama'ah. And in the saying of Allah, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah said, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. Allah said regarding يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on that day, some of the faces will be illuminated white and other faces will be darkened, meaning the people of goodness and the people of sinning. Allah said, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. On that day, the يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, faces will be illuminated white and other faces will be dark. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentions in his tafsir of this ayah what Ibn Abbas said. Ibn Abbas said regarding this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ أَيْ وُجُوهِ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْإِئْتِلَافِ. The day in which the faces will be bright and white, meaning the face of Ahlul Sunnah, wal-i'tilaf, and those who are united. وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ, and the day in which faces will be darkened, أي وُجُوهِ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ, i.e. the faces of the people of innovation, and ikhtilaf, and those who differ amongst each other. So this terminology, Ahlul Sunnati wal-Jama'a, Ahlul Sunnati wal-I'tilaf, and also Ahlul Bid'ati wal-Ikhtilaf, Ahlul Bid'ati wal-Furqa, this was used by Sahabun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the point is that from the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah is, firstly, following the Sunnah, staying with the Sunnah, staying away from all innovations, and secondly, remaining with the Jama'a. What is meant by Jama'a? Meaning the Imam of the Muslims and the main society of the Muslims. وَنَجْتَنِبَ الشُّذُوذَ وَالْخِلَافَ وَالْفُرْقَ, and we stay away from شُذُوذ وَالْإِخْتِلَافَ وَالْفُرْقَ. The meaning of شُذُوذ is somebody who is at odds with the rest of society. So the society are living in a particular way, and this person comes and he's shadh, and he tries to differ from the rest of society. This is the meaning of شُذُوذ. And furqa and ikhtilaf, again differing and disobedience. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, عَلَيْكَ بِالْجَمَاعَةَ فَإِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الذِّئْبْ الْقَاسِيَةِ, that upon you is the jama'ah. Stay with the jama'ah. Stay with the main body and the congregation of the Muslims. Why? Because the wolf, he only devours the lone sheep. Just as the wolf will devour the sheep on its own, then also shaitan will devour that person who is away from the rest of the Muslims. And for this reason, the ulama, they mention, even for the Muslims who are living in a non-Muslim country, if you're going to live in a non-Muslim country, then live with the Muslims in those areas and those towns where the Muslims are living. Don't live in an area where there's no Muslims, away from the Muslim society, because shaitan will devour you and devour your children because you're away from the main residence of the Muslims. And then the author said, وَأَنَّ الْجِهَادَ مَاضٍ مُنْذُ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ إِلَىٰ قِيَامَ السَّاعَ مَعَ وَلِّيِّ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That the obligation of jihad and the legislation of jihad, it will continue. From the time Allah sent His Messenger up until يوم القيامة, but with a condition. And what is the condition? مَعَ وَلِّيِّ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The jihad has to be fought under a ruler from the ruler of the Muslims. So this is from the types of jihad or the conditions of jihad that it is legislated. The jihad isn't individuals going and bombing and killing and traveling. Rather, jihad has to be with the permission of the ruler and also the parents, under the ruler, the Muslim ruler, along with the army of the Muslim rulers. Jihad isn't chaos like it is fought now. It has to be under the flag. Sometimes the ulama say raya al-raya, meaning the flag or the authority or the permission of a ruler. La yubtiluhu shay, and nothing can stop this. And also there are a hadith regarding this, like for example the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الجهاد ماض منذ بعثني الله إلى أن يقاتل آخر أمتي الدجال. The jihad will carry on from the time that Allah sent me until the last of my ummah will fight الدجال, meaning Isa alayhi salam. That when Isa alayhi salam will descend and the rest of the Muslims will go with Isa alayhi salam up until they catch Dajjal, and he will be at one of the doors or gates of Philistine. And then they will kill him. So even that jihad against Dajjal, it will be under the Waliul Amr, which will be Isa alayhi salam. He said, "La," the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "La yubtiluhu jawru ja'irin wala adlu adilin." That regardless of whether the ruler is disobedient and corrupt, or whether he is just, jihad has to carry on with him. So Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, from the Salaf and those who came after them, they see that jihad is only fought with the rulers of the Muslims. Regardless of whether the Muslim is adil, just, or he's fasiq, or he's ja'ir, oppressful, then jihad is fought with him. And also, he said, wal hajj. And also, al hajj. Meaning it is the ruler of that country who brings the Muslims together for al hajj. Wa daf'a sadaqat. And also the giving of az-zakah. Because it is the ruler's job to organize zakah, to have a ministry which organizes zakah, which takes wealth, which gives wealth. This zakah is given under the guidance of the Muslim rulers. So all of this is with regards to the responsibilities of the citizens towards the rulers who are Muslims, even if they have with them corruption or oppression or tyranny, then this remains. I've summarized in 8 points the Aqidah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah when it comes to the Muslim rulers. In 8 points or 8 principles. So first of them is that whoever is in a land in which there is a Muslim society and a ruler, then bay'ah, giving allegiance to that ruler, is an absolute obligation. If a person is living in a Muslim country and this Muslim country has a Muslim ruler and his rule is settled, established, then it is an obligation to give him the pledge of allegiance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man mata wa laysa fi unuqihi bay'a mata maytatil jahiliyya." That whoever dies and he doesn't have upon his neck bay'ah, meaning he hasn't given a bay'ah to the Muslim ruler of that country, mata maytat al-jahiliyyah, then he will die the death of jahiliyyah. And what does it mean that he will die the death of jahiliyyah? Because in al-jahiliyyah, before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, They were not known for being united behind a ruler. There was always factions and tribes and small groups always fighting against each other. There was never a single ruler that who they would obey. Islam came and changed this chaos to order and established that there has to be an order in society, and there is a ruler and there is a citizens, and the citizens show obedience to him. Secondly, the Amir, it covers Al-Amir Al-A'zam, the major Amir, meaning the Khalifa of all of the Muslims, and it also covers the Amir of every small country. Because nowadays there are people from amongst the Takfiriyin and the people who went to Ghulu in Jihad, and they say that we accept all of these ahadith, but these ahadith are only for the Khalifa of the Muslim. As for the individual rulers of the countries, then we do not show them obedience. Rather, these ahadith, they apply to every ruler of every country. And even from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find the wording which the Prophet says, سَيَكُونُ عَلَيْكُمْ umara. There will be rulers upon you, plural. And also if you look at the Salaf, there were times where there was more than one ruler. From the Umayyin and the Abbasiyin, there was more than one, two, three or four rulers. And yet the Aqeedah remained firm that you have to show obedience to the ruler who is upon you. The third point is that the rule of a leader, the ruler has to be shown obedience regardless of how he became a ruler. Meaning whether he became a ruler by shura, or he became a ruler because a king gave it to his son, or he became a ruler by fighting and taking over the authority, or he became a ruler by the majority of what the people have said. Regardless, once his rule becomes settled and established, then he's now the Amir of the country and he's to be shown obedience to. The main thing is, أَنْ يَسْتَقِرَّ حُكْمَهُ, that his hukm, his rule, it becomes settled. It becomes agreed upon by the people, by the majority. Third, or the fourth point is, that a person has to show a sam' wa ta'a to any Muslim ruler. A person has to listen and show obedience to every command of a ruler unless it is ma'asiyah. So if the ruler orders you with obedience, you have to obey him. If the order rules you with something which is mubah, you have to obey him. But if the ruler orders you with something which is disobedience to Allah, then you do not obey him. Fifth point, that it is not permitted for a Muslim to make khuruj, meaning rebel or revolt, against a Muslim ruler, regardless of whether he is fasiq or zalim or sariq, then it isn't permitted. And there are many evidences for this, and we mentioned the evidences last week, like the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, سَيَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَئِمَّةٌ, that after me there will be various leaders. لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهَدِي وَلَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّتِي, they will not take by my guidance, neither will they follow my sunnah. وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبَ الشَّيَاطِينَ فِي جُثْمَانَ الْإِنْسِ, and there will be rulers amongst them, men amongst them. Their hearts will be hearts of shayateen, but in the bodies of humans. Meaning they will be so evil, it's as if their hearts are the hearts of shayateen, it's just that their body is a human body. And then the companions asked him, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa asna? O Messenger of Allah, what should I do? If this time comes upon me and the rulers are so evil that they're hiding inside them this amount of evil, but from the outside we can see they are Muslim, what should I do? The Prophet said, Asmi' wa ati' amirak. He said, show obedience to your ruler and listen to your ruler. وَإِنْ ضَرَبَ ظَهْرَكَ وَأَخَذَ مَالَكَ, even if he beats your back and he takes your wealth, أَسْمِعْ وَعْطِعْ, then show him obedience and listen to him. And we also mentioned the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he said, إِذَا كَانَ الْإِمَامُ عَادِلًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ الشُّكْر وَلَهُ الْأَجَر, that if your imam, if your ruler of your area, if he's just, if he's righteous, then you show shukr to him and the reward is for him. Wa in kana ja'iran, but if the ruler is an oppressor, a tyrant, fa alaykum as-sabr wa alayhi al-wizr, then upon you is patience and for him is the punishment from Allah, i.e. the sin in the hereafter. And we mentioned various ahadith regarding this. Then the fifth or the next point, the sixth point, is that the only time in which khuruj is permitted, if kufrun bawah, if absolute major kufr, which is clear, if it is becomes apparent from the Amir. In this situation, then khuruj, rebelling and revolting and not obeying him and fighting against him, it becomes permitted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, عليكم بالسمعي والطاعتي إلا أن تروا منه كفرا بواحا عندكم من الله فيه برهان. That upon you is to show obedience, to listen to your Amir, unless you see كفرا بواح. And the meaning of كفرا بواح is absolute clear kufr. Not suspicions, no doubts, no difference amongst the ulama. Something which is absolute clear kufr. And you have with you an evidence from Allah that this is clear kufr. In this situation, khuruj, it becomes permitted, but there's further conditions. So the next point is that the conditions for making khuruj, revolting against the ruler, are three. First of them is kufrun bawah, that he has to show kufrun bawah, meaning it's not just oppression, it's not dhulm, it's not stealing, it's not oppression, it's not fisq, it's not major sins, it is kufrun bawah. Secondly, that you have the ability to remove him. So it's no point rebelling against him and you have no ability to revolt against him and to fight him. And the third condition is that there is a ruler who you are able to bring in place who will be better than him. Otherwise, there's no point in revolting against him. And then we could say the fourth condition is that you revolting and fighting against him as a society, it does not bring about an evil, a greater evil and a greater harm. So if by the society of the citizens revolting against this ruler who has kufr and bawah with him, if it's going to bring more harm and more evil and more killing and more chaos, then it is not permitted. And then the next point is that, and this is important, al-khuruj, rebelling and revolting against the ruler, it can either be by a word, i.e. by statements, or it can be by writing, or it can be a physical rebellion of the souls. So it can be by words, meaning for example on the minbar, that a person stands on the minbar, incites the people against the rulers, speaks bad against the rulers, orders people to revolt against the rulers, spreads bad things about the rulers. This is also considered as al-khuruj. And we mentioned that the head and the first of the khawarij was a person called Dhul Khuwaisira. And this man, Dhul Khuwaisira, he made khuruj against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was distributing the war booty, after one of the battles, this man, he came and he said, I'dil ya Muhammad fa innaka lam ta'dil. He said, be just, O Muhammad, because you have not been just. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ سَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ ضِئْضِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, that from the progeny of this man there will come a people, تَحْقِرُونَ صَلَاتَهُمْ مَعَ صَلَاتِهِمْ, that you, the companions, you will belittle your prayers in comparison to their prayers. وَتَحْقِرُونَ صِيَامَكُمْ مَعَ صِيَامِهِمْ, and you will belittle your fasting in comparison to the fasting of these people. Meaning these khawarij, there will be people, from the outside it looks as if they are very, very righteous people. People of ibadah, people of righteousness, people of piety, people of zuhud, people of those who forsake the dunya. This would be these types of people. So much so that if you were to compare the salah of the companions to the salah of the people, it's as if you're blitting the praying of the companions, and the siyam of the companions, and the sadaqah of the companions. And the Prophet said, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, and they will recite the book of Allah, meaning amongst them will be Huffaz and Qurra and reciters of the Qur'an. وَلَا يُجَاوِزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ, however, this Qur'an it will not pass their throats. I mean, they have no understanding of the Quran. They memorize and they recite, but when it comes to knowledge, then they do not have this. And this, even today, you see this. So, for example, when some of the Khawarij are mentioned, people will say, but look how he left his country, look how he left his wealth. He used to be a very rich man, and he left all of this. And look at his recitation, and how he weeps in his recitation. And look at the marks of him praying and giving up his wealth. And amongst them are memorizers, and amongst them are Qurra, but you never find a scholar amongst them. So even now, for example, we have the likes of ISIS or Al-Qaeda. All of the leaders, whether it is Bin Laden or Zawahiri, all of them are what? One was an engineer, the other one was a medical doctor. Before this fight, they were unknown. ISIS as well. Not a single scholar who is with them, who was considered to be a scholar before this fighting took place. You say to them, mention a single scholar who was with you, who you used to consider a scholar before the fighting came place. From any group. There's nobody with them. Nobody senior with them. And this is the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point is that this man, Dhul Khuwaysira, how did he make khuruj against the Prophet? By a word, i'dil, be just. So the ulama mention that this khuruj, it can be done by words, i.e. on the manabir, or it can be by writing books, or it can be physical fighting. And then the next principle with regards to the rulers is that if oppression occurs from the Muslim ruler, the obligation upon the people is as-sabr, is to remain patient. And remaining patient, even though there's a level of corruption and oppression, as long as it doesn't reach kufr bawah, major kufr, it is still better for society than revolting and killing and chaos and properties lost and the country is destroyed, and that which we see from the Muslim countries. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha ra'a ahadukum min amirihi munkaran falyasbir." If a person sees from his amir something which is evil, then be patient. And finally, the last principle is that when the ruler does something which is wrong or evil, then he's still to be advised. So, an-nasiha, it is still an obligation towards him. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith of Tamim al-Dari Burqiyya radiallahu anhu, he said, "Adinu nasiha, adinu nasiha, adinu nasiha." The religion is sincere advice. They said, "Qila liman ya Rasulullah," said, "For whom, O Messenger of Allah?" Then he said, "Lillahi wa li rasulihi wa li kitabihi wa li a'immatil muslimina wa 'ammatihim." For the rulers of the Muslims and also for the common Muslims. But how does a person advise their Muslim ruler, and who advises him? Two matters. First, it has to be done in secrecy and private, not done in open. And secondly, it isn't done by every person, it is done by ahlul halli wal aqd, either people or who have some status, some authority, knowledge, ulama, people like that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, and al-Albani considered it to be sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man arada an yansiha lidhi sultanin fala yubdihi alaniya." That whoever wants to advise the one who has rule and authority, rulership and authority over him, فَلَا يُبْدِهِ عَلَانِيَةً, then don't give it in the open. وَلْيَأْخُذْ بِيَدِهِ, but rather take him by his hand. Meaning take him by his hand, go to somewhere which is secret and private, and then advise him. فَإِنْ قَبِلَ مِنْهُ فَذَاكَ, so if he accepts this advice, then it is that. وَإِلَّا كَانَ قَدْ أَدَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ, and if he doesn't accept your advice, then you have fulfilled the obligation which was upon you. So this, to summarize, are the points which relate to the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah with regards to the Muslim rulers who have with them fisq and dhulm and tughyan, as long as they don't reach the level of al-kufr. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.